Cool 97 Radio.
The Singles live on the Nation's Coolest Cool 97 FM. If you're joining us on the World Wide Web, welcome to our talk segment. If you're listening via the good old radio, thank you as always for keeping us in your ear. So you can call in as usual. The flow line is 876-978-7388. That's 876-978-7388. And the Digicel line is 876-648-5636. Let me repeat. The Digicel line is 648-5636. The flow line is 876-978-7388. You can participate by using the telephone numbers, or you can join us inside the MixLR chat room. So tonight, Dr. Milton Hardy is with us. He's back again inside the tutor chair over there. So you know when Dr. Hardy's in, I have to get my notepad and I have to just absorb everything that he has to teach. Because I have to call you a professor, you know. Because
my notes are ready.
Eh?
My notes are ready right now.
Your notes are, you're ready? You're ready? You're ready with
ready,
your notes? So we're going into another. We won't even call it just a talk segment because it is not just chit-chatting, but giving you some vital information when Dr. Hardy comes in. So it's not just a talk, but we're learning, and he's also teaching. So, Dr. Hardy, how are you doing?
I am very well, Anne. Thanks for asking. How are you, Dre?
I'm good, sir. I'm
wonderful.
Good.
You know, see me in a long sleeve. When you see me in a long sleeve, you know, so things are going, you know, things are going down. It's not because in here is a little bit chilly, but Dre is
busy.
And of course, I must say hello to the folks on the radio and those in Cyberland.
And that's where a majority of them are. In listening far and wide. And boy, you know, so you're popular, though, you know. We never know. So you know, so much people know, you know, Dr. Hardy.
Maybe I don't know myself.
You are well known in the diaspora. Maybe your classmates, you know.
Yes, I know yes. I have classmates in diaspora.
Yes, yes. So tonight we're going to be talking about diabetes and pregnancy. How the two go together in terms of the effects of diabetes during pregnancy, the types of diabetes. But why a topic like this, Joe? It could have just, well, we have done pregnancy before, but why pregnancy or why diabetes first and pregnancy? Why?
Well, both diabetes and pregnancy have unique features, and invariably they seem to enhance each other. Yes, pregnancy is referred to as a diabetogenic state because as pregnancy advances, you find that there are hormones produced by the baby's placenta which tend to cause a resistance to insulin, which of course is the hormone which keeps the blood sugar in check, driving the glucose into the cells to create energy for the mother and the baby too. So if you have a situation whereby one condition can enhance the furtherance of the other, then we have a problem because both conditions, or shall I say the diabetes with the pregnancy, can cause varied problems for both mother and baby. But we must never lose sight of the fact that pregnancy is a diabetogenic state, and this diabetogenicity gets worse as the pregnancy advances.
Wow.
It's also worse if you have multiple pregnancy, because it's all about the placenta. As the pregnancy advances, the placenta grows, if you have more than one baby on board, you get a bigger placenta. So you get more production of hormones.
Yep. That's all I have to say. Yep. Because types of diabetes during pregnancy, is it different from diabetes outside of pregnancy?
Nice question. We have to consider them en bloc. So you could have what we call pre-gestational diabetes, which would be your type 1 diabetes or your juvenile diabetes, which occurs in youngsters. It's an autoimmune condition, autoimmune meaning that the body attacks itself. And so they end up with a destruction, really, of their pancreas, the pancreas being the organ which creates your insulin. So their diabetes is insulin dependent. Then you have the type 2 diabetics, tends to occur in older folks. Their situation is one in which the insulin that they produce is either insufficient or ineffective or both. And then you have gestational diabetes. And what is this gestational diabetes? This is diabetes occurring in a lady for the first time in the pregnancy. When she's not pregnant, she's not diabetic. But by and large, they do end up with deleterious effects on the unborn. Or the born fetus. / baby.
So the gestational diabetes question, once you have the baby or once the baby is born, do you not have that diabetes, or there's a possibility that you're now a diabetic?
Okay, nice question. Most persons with gestational diabetes, and I guess you're a patient, the diabetes will resolve itself after the delivery. However, these folks have an increased risk of developing type 2 diabetes when they get to that particular age. That is, they get into the 40s and 50s. So they have to be checked, or they should be checked by their healthcare provider after delivering a baby when they were having gestational diabetes. And this should go on for life, really, because they might be normal after delivering the baby, but 20 years later they could wind up getting diabetic.
Doc, let us look at some of the before we look at some of the effects of diabetes on pregnancy, let us look at some of the symptoms during pregnancy that the patient is diabetic. Is it any different for persons who are not pregnant?
Again, good question. Because some diabetics who are pregnant may actually have no symptom, or maybe just a few. However, all diabetics can present with increased thirst, increased urination. They may just be feeling fatigued. And these, of course, will also occur during a normal pregnancy.
That's what I was about to ask.
So by and large, sometimes there are no symptoms until the patient is actually checked. Which it should be done between 24 and 28 weeks as a routine screening for all your mothers, actually. If you're diabetic, of course, you'll be checking on the person's blood sugars from booking. But certainly a screen should be done between 24 and 28 weeks. So all patients, this is a time when, especially those with gestational diabetes, that's a time when the blood sugars tend to begin to rise.
Another question before I move into something that just popped in my head. In terms of women who are prone, is there a particular age group of women that are prone to gestational diabetes, or once a woman is pregnant, irrespective of age, then there is a possibility that she may develop gestational diabetes because of the hormone that the fetus, as you mentioned, produced?
Good question. By and large, this is likely to happen if you're over, if you're 25 years or over, if you're overweight, if you have had gestational diabetes in a previous pregnancy, if you have been having big babies more than 9 pounds, you might be a person who had the polycystic ovarian syndrome, which is another topic. By and large, these people usually have difficulty getting pregnant, but some of them do. And interestingly, polycystic ovarian disease and diabetes are really on the flip side of the same coin. Because invariably we use metformin, which is one of the drugs used to treat diabetes, to treat polycystic, it's one of the treatments of polycystic ovarian syndrome as well. So these people are more prone to getting diabetes or gestational diabetes. Being overweight is a problem. If you're not eating correctly and if there is a lack of exercise, lack of activity, you are also more prone.
And I know that you use the word more prone because you have pregnant women out there who go through these craving episodes, and they may sit down and consume 4 quarts of ice cream,
yeah,
and half a cake and stuff like that.
Yes, you can certainly challenge your pancreas if you do that.
So you don't have to be eating for two. You don't have to eat half for yourself and half of the cake for yourself and half for the baby.
No, you don't. That's a misconception.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the normal weight gain for pregnancy runs between 20 and 50 pounds in a pregnancy. And if you were to break down the reasons why the weight has been gained, You will find that you will wind down to being, to have gained weight within that band. I mean, the baby would contribute something, the enlarged uterus would contribute something, the placenta contributes something, the liquor contributes something, the generalized weight gain and fluid retention and the increase in your blood volume would contribute to this weight gain. But it should be between 20 and 50 pounds. That's what normally happens.
Mm-hmm.
If you exceed this, then of course you could run into problems. And diabetics should really aim to be on the lower end of the scale. Because remember now, pregnancies where there is no gain in weight is usually accompanied by a problem. So you're expected to gain weight during pregnancy. The amount, though, is what matters, especially if you're a diabetic.
Yes, so you still want to watch what you consume, and don't say that you're having cravings and you can't help yourself.
No, you have to help yourself.
And you don't have any control. You just want to eat. All right, docs.
What usually causes that? As in the weird cravings and
a lot of it is
the inability to control.
A lot of it is psychogenic, you know, because you may have cravings for a particular food, but the cravings are not necessarily into quantities. You know, people tell you all kind of strange things about their love to eat in pregnancy. But when you check it out, the amounts that they eat is not necessarily an enormous amount. They just want that kind of food for some strange reason.
Well, I mean, not necessarily the quantity, but just what it is that they're craving. So a lot of times, and I mean, it's not. I mean, you know, I normally talk from a movie standpoint, but it's not only movies I've witnessed it, where the cravings are just wild.
That combination of like something.
A combination of food.
Yes, you know, yes, strange combinations.
So that's what I'm asking, like, what usually causes that?
The hormones of pregnancy obviously have a role to play in this, and how it affects different persons, there's no set pattern. You know,
and different pregnancies too, because you may be having, well, I don't think I had extreme cravings. I think I loved mangoes, that's for sure. And I will drive from here to wherever to get mangoes, but nothing strange like some people eating dirt and ketchup on something.
The dirt deficiency. It's usually due to some deficiency. Usually iron.
Yes, so I did not have,
you know, fish and ice cream, like some weird combination.
Yes, you have weird combinations. You also have food aversions to you, and also substance aversions. Some people, for example, can't stand cologne. You know, they're pregnant.
And certain seasoning. I had to eat, well, I spent most of my time eating at home because of whatever seasoning that they would use. I guess some form of powdered seasoning. I just could not eat that. And I would just eat at a specific place or prepare my own meals because I just could not take that kind of seasoning that was in the food. But outside of that, I never want to eat half a cake because I was still exercising. I didn't want to. I wasn't an ice cream lover. I think during my pregnancy, I had ice cream once, and it was just me just wanting to taste a little bit of ice cream, and I was good, and that was it. So as Doc said, different pregnancy, different cravings, but I want our listeners who are listening to kind of understand that if you're having certain cravings, then it is deficiencies. So to speak with your OBGYN about that. But the life of it, I would not understand why a woman would. I've heard the stories of women eating talc powder.
Yes, they dirt
that isn't that
powder.
Dangerous.
And they have no control over it, you know. There are patients who will eat a concrete block in their house, keep picking at it, yeah, until the deficiency is corrected.
Okay.
Then they crave it no longer.
Wow. Women, boy, I tell you, we are really, really special. So, moving on. We looked at the type of diabetes.
And we will not pick on women. I must interject because
men have cravings too.
Yeah, especially if they have worms.
Who have worms?
The men. it might not be so common, but it is a cause of cravings in the men.
Where
they get these cravings to have what we call pica. PICA. So they'll eat the dirt and the powder and the ashes and that sort of thing. But it is usually associated with worm infestation.
And not when their partner is pregnant?
No.
So this is separate and outside?
This is separate and apart from pregnancy.
So I have never seen a man eating any dirt and powder and stuff like that.
Neither have you seen a man with hot flashes, but if you do the research.
For
the andropause.
No.
It comes up 50% of the times.
Well, I think I've seen that. But you can't say to the male that, you know, I suspect that's what is happening to you. Every night, Dre, when Dre come in every minute, Dre, AC is way up, and Dre is, oh God, I'm so hot up in here. Not you though, Dre. Not you. I'm just throwing that out. So we've covered the types of diabetes. So Doc, we're going to take the break, and then when we come back, we're going to be looking at how diabetes affect pregnancy.
Okay.
We are going to take a break. Singers Live on the Nation School at School 97 FM. We're going to take a short break. We soon come back.
Cool 97 Radio.
Marhu, how are you doing? Chadwick 2K6, thank you so much for popping in. So let's move back into the talk segment. Before we took the break, I'd ask Dr. Hardy, how does diabetes affect pregnancy?
Okay, another good question. Diabetes can affect pregnancy in many ways. First of all, the diabetic mother, her blood sugars could be out of control even before she realizes that she's pregnant. And I'm not talking about the gestational diabetics, I'm talking about the people who had pre-gestational diabetes, they had diabetes mm-hmm. before they became pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
So, most of your organs are actually laid down by 8 weeks, you know. 8 weeks just gestational age. So you have an increased incidence of birth defects in the children of diabetic mothers. So they may have problems with their heart, their brain, their kidneys. That's the babies, okay? In fact, there's an increased risk of you miscarrying if you're a diabetic mother. There's also an increased risk of you having a premature delivery. Or you may even have a stillbirth, an increased risk of this occurring if you're diabetic. By and large, though, diabetics or diabetic babies do have an increased risk of being larger
mm-hmm.
than usual, and this is because they, having been exposed to the high levels of sugar from the mother, the baby's pancreas takes over some of the work, so it also tries to make more insulin, so it deposits the sugar into the baby cells, so they're bigger. Of course, they tend to have a greater incidence of obesity after birth. And they themselves also have a greater risk of developing diabetes, mm-hmm. type 2 diabetes, as they become older. So you find that the diabetic mother may have an increased risk for an operative delivery, cesarean section, because the babies are now bigger, can't come through the birth passage. Maybe that's a good thing, because if they can't come, it means that the shoulders won't get stuck. So you deliver them by a cesarean section. The ones that really have a problem, you know, are the ones where the head actually can come. Because that's the one whose shoulder going to get stuck. And the shoulder sticking in a delivery, we call it shoulder dystocia, is an obstetrician's nightmare. Because remember now, everything is measured in time. You can't arrange a cesarean section in 5 minutes. If you run into a longer time than that, you have a very good chance of having a dead baby or a brain damaged baby. Because you only realize that the shoulder is stuck after the head comes out.
And nothing is happening after that. Boy.
So you have to now figure out how to deliver that shoulder. Sometimes we can, sometimes we don't successfully. And you have to embark on traumatic things. You have to break the collarbones, and you may end up damaging the arms or the nerves in the arms, even breaking bones in the arms. You may mutilate the mother in terms of her tearing. I mean, naturally, you'd give an episiotomy if that were to occur. And you do all sorts of maneuvers, sticking your hand in the rectum to turn the shoulder and all kind of things. So it's really not an emergency you look forward to at all. You may get a live baby, but the baby could be suffering from a neurological deficit for life.
Mm-hmm.
But having said all of that, let us get back to where were we? We were talking about an increased risk of operative deliveries.
Right.
You also have an increased risk of premature labor. Whether it be due to you inducing labor, because one, the baby has gotten large, or there are other problems in the pregnancy. For example, diabetic mothers have an increased risk for developing preeclampsia. Preeclampsia is a condition characterized by high blood pressure and protein in the urine.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But you also have the increased risk, of course, of the mother developing what we call polyhydramnios. What is that? That is an increase in the liquor surrounding the baby, the liquid.
Mm-hmm.
And this happens because of the diabetes, because the baby is trying to get rid of the sugar out of his system, so you get more liquor. This can lead to an increased risk of premature labor just from the stretch it puts onto the uterus. So the lady goes into labor prematurely. So the affectation is great, and it goes even beyond that, because after the delivery, this baby now has an increased capacity in your pancreas to make insulin. So the baby's blood sugar falls after delivery. And if you are not cognizant of this occurrence to take place, you may not feed the baby fast enough to prevent him from dropping his own blood sugar.
Mm-hmm.
In essence, virtually doing himself harm, because he has been accustomed to having this high sugar level environment, and all of a sudden he has now been removed from it. But his pancreas is still working over time for a while until he recalibrates and gets back to normal. So you could have hypoglycemia, that's what we call it, low blood sugar, in a baby after you've delivered them. So the implications are great.
And we're looking at, Dre's over there looking at Dr. Hardy, and so am I. And I must say, thank you, Jesus. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we looked at the implication of diabetes on pregnancy. So let us turn it around now and look at the implication of pregnancy on diabetes.
Okay. Good turnaround. As I said earlier, they both seem to enhance each other, because as the pregnancy advances, the placental hormones tend to make the insulin less effective. It therefore resists or increases insulin resistance. So you will find, for example, that a diabetic mother, whether it be gestational or otherwise, her insulin requirements increases as the pregnancy advances. So you now have to be juggling the dosages as the pregnancy goes along. What it means is that this patient will now have to be monitored even more closely. Yeah, the diabetic mother would see her our healthcare provider more frequently than a patient who is not diabetic and who has no other health issues. You also have the other effects of diabetes on the mother. We had mentioned the preeclampsia before, but it could also affect her eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. It could also affect her kidneys. Could get all of the complications which could attend a regular diabetic. And all of these things one has to be aware of and to manage them as best you can if they were to arise. Of course, the key really is to control that sugar within a normal band. Because once you control the blood sugars, the other complications will subside. Program sounds sad.
It sounds informative.
Well, it is. You see, because I'm not planning to have any more babies, I want to put this information out there for those who are planning, who are pregnant, and who have friends and daughters and grandchildren who they're hoping to have children in the near future, that we're giving you a wealth of information to say these are the possibilities if you develop diabetes before pregnancy and during pregnancy. And at the, you know, at the core of it is that we have to be mindful of what we consume.
And, you know, I'm glad you raised that point, because you have the situation of the person who is diabetic, who wants to become pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And in this situation, one has to embark upon what we refer to as pre-pregnancy care, where you, the person, has to ensure that their sugars are well controlled, they're in good health, they're eating properly. We usually start them on folic acid, which is a vitamin. And this folic acid does seem to give some protection against defects which occur or affects the brain tissue, brain and nervous tissue. So we would embark on all of this prior to pregnancy, so that when the person becomes pregnant, they will be at an optimal level of fitness.
But I mean, this whole thing is for people that actually plan.
Yes, good point you have raised, because some people are not fortunate enough to have a planned pregnancy. And they certainly would face the brunt of the complications, even to a greater degree, because they will be pregnant before they realize that they're pregnant,
mm-hmm.
with their diabetes probably out of control.
So with those complications, if you know you have them,
and it's 3-9%.
It's best to do the planned
pregnancy.
Hear that?
9%.
Yeah, that's the incidence of diabetes and pregnancy.
Oh.
Whether it be pre-gestational diabetes or gestational diabetes.
Hmm.
Which is pretty decent. That's almost 1 in 10, you know.
Yeah.
That's a good percentage of persons.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
Mm,
okay.
So let us look at the diagnosis for diabetes during pregnancy. Is it any different outside of a pregnancy?
The diagnosis is no different. It's just that pregnant ladies may not have any symptoms. Within a reasonable time. Remember now, pregnancy is a finite time. And most persons, for example, those who develop gestational diabetes will do so between 24 and 28 weeks. Mm-hmm. The pregnancy is almost two-thirds gone before you realize what is happening. So in other words, in the essence of time, things do happen quickly. So, you know, it's important that you have to be on top of things very quickly as well. Or you could run into the risk of having all of these abnormalities confronting you.
Okay, so let me just put some clarity on this. That once you're pregnant, testing for diabetes is a part of your routine checkup.
Yes, usually screen patients at between 24 and 28 weeks. You give them something sweet to drink, and their blood sugar is done.
Yeah,
after about an hour. And if it is abnormal, then you have to do what we call a glucose tolerance test, mm-hmm. a three-hour test where you go in fasting, you're given something sweet to drink, and your blood is checked. Some people will do it hourly for 3 hours. We do it half hourly for 3 hours. And if there are abnormalities in this test, then you're diabetic.
Mm-hmm. You know. Yeah, I remember drinking that sweetie something. You know, they're way too sweet.
Yeah, you're well screened. It's quite nauseating, I understand.
Mm, yuck. I have to say. So, as we have established in terms of making absolutely clear that once you're pregnant, your healthcare practitioner should be monitoring your blood sugar levels,
and if you have risk factors, you should be checked from day one.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know, one, the diabetes may be manifesting itself earlier in these persons, and remember what we had said before of the increased risk of abnormalities of the fetus from very early in the pregnancies. And most of your vitals are laid down by 8 weeks. So if you are late in picking up that the person is diabetic, you could run into the risk of missing an abnormality.
Hmm. Treatment, though, for the diabetes during pregnancy?
Good question. I know this might be very traumatic for the ladies. The gold standard for diabetic treatment in pregnancy is insulin. That's an injection. There has been recently some use of some oral drugs in the management of the diabetic patient, usually in persons who were well controlled before. But because pregnancy, one of the peculiarities of pregnancy is that your sugar control becomes worse as the pregnancy advances, you usually will have to resort to insulin, because then you can adjust the dosage. Person might require more insulin as the pregnancy advances, and vice versa, you know.
Any other form of treatments? I mean, in terms of now you're going to go on a...
Well, naturally, you know, I'm glad you raised that point again. One has to eat properly.
Mm-hmm.
One has to exercise. And remember now, you're pregnant, so you can't necessarily train for the marathon.
Yeah, but you do a little walking.
You're walking.
Yeah, walking. Mm-hmm.
And you can split up the duration of the walking, you know. It is usually recommended that you do your little walk for about half hour. But you could break it up into three blocks of 10 minutes. It will still have a cumulative value for you. You are going to watch your portions. And you're going to be monitored. And when I say monitor, I mean like several times a day. Because the aim really is to try to keep your levels within normal limits. Because remember now, one of the things that could complicate your pregnancy is when the body starts to break down fat to produce energy, and you will end up in what we call a ketotic state, because the fat that you break down will make these chemicals called ketones,
mm-hmm.
which of course can cause you to develop what we call acidosis. And all of these are complications which can lead to problems with the patient, not necessarily even pregnant. But any diabetic person, you could get into a coma. You could have vomiting. You could have serious disturbance of your fluid balance. And you may not pay attention to your fluid levels or your fluid balance because you have no problem. But if you have a problem, it becomes extremely important that you're getting it right.
Singles Live, let me just take a break. Singles Live on the Nation School at School, 97 FM, and our listeners, you're there. Thank you so much for keeping us in your ear. There was a question that was coming up in my head that I wanted to ask Doc, and it in terms of gestational pregnancy or a woman gestational diabetes or a woman who is diabetic and pregnant, do you normally allow them to go to full term or
excellent question. I personally don't allow that, and I say so against the backdrop of there is an increased risk of getting a stillbirth the closer you get to term. So I usually will opt for delivery after 37 weeks. Between 37 and 38 weeks. I will not go to 40 weeks at all. It's kind of hard for a lady at 39 weeks to call you and tell you that she hasn't felt the baby move since yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And the baby is actually dead. There's no fetal heartbeat. But when you check her out, you get a stillbirth. And this is usually a big baby, you know.
Yeah.
Because the babies can become so developed that they call them sugar babies. God, they really can be big.
Wow. Before we move on to the next question, something is, as I said, just in my head. I'm thinking now. You have diabetes. Your baby's pancreas was working overtime.
Mm-hmm.
You now have this baby. You take home this baby, and the baby starts to become what is considered to be a very fussy baby. Could this be a sign that the baby...
Something is wrong. It could be a sign that something is wrong. So you must ensure that you have good pediatric coverage for these babies. Because you have the increased risk of, one, the hypoglycemia, the blood sugar is dropping low. Although this tends to diminish as the time after delivery increases. But one must also remember that these babies also have respiratory problems, in that, one, they might be delivered early, so they have an increased risk of what we call respiratory distress syndrome. Patients or babies subjected to high blood sugar levels, also their lungs might not develop as efficiently as it would have if the sugar levels were normal. The same goes for the heart. There's an increased risk of heart defects, and these can manifest themselves with the baby behaving off color,
mm-hmm.
After delivery. So it's going to be very important that pediatric assessment is adhered to and must be available. You also need to have the maternal fetal specialist. This is the doctor who will manage these high-risk mothers. And of course, you will have to make sure that the blood sugars have reverted to normal, or certainly the insulin requirements might have changed, because they will have once you have the delivery. So, you know, we'll have to recalibrate this mother in terms of her dosage. The ones with gestational diabetes might not need anything, but suppose you are a type 1 or a type 2 diabetic. You were already on insulin before you got pregnant. You were already on treatment, sorry.
Treatment.
Before the pregnancy. And after the pregnancy, you will probably have to go back down to what you used to take, but it's not going to go away. So you have to recalibrate this person, because you could now be overdosing the person if you maintain the levels of treatments that you used to do during the pregnancy.
We are coming up on our next break, but I want to ask this question, Doc. How does diabetes affect delivery? Well, we're going to look at both delivery, vaginal delivery, and C-section deliveries. How does diabetes affect those delivery?
Well, it could affect the timing of the delivery.
Mm-hmm.
In that you may opt to deliver early because of the poor control that you're getting, or there might be fetal problems. So you would opt for inducing labor if it is feasible. The problem, though, is that if you have an increased incidence of inducing labor, you will also get an increasing incidence of a failed induction. A failed induction is a cesarean section. And of course, you will have those patients who you might deem that the baby is so large, or the baby might have some other issues. The mother might have preeclampsia, that you will opt for not allowing that person to go into labor for whatever, for those reasons. So you might opt for an elective cesarean section. So the mode of delivery will be affected in the patients with diabetes.
What about the recovery time? And does it have any implication in terms of a mother who is diabetic? Let us look at not just only gestational diabetes, but someone who is diabetic. Does it affect the recovery time, especially when it comes to C-sections?
Well, the recovery time will not necessarily be adversely affected if the sugars are under control. So it really comes down to the control of your blood sugars. If the sugars are well controlled, the recovery time will be the same as a mother who has no diabetes. And that has to be taken into context, because being diabetic, you're going to be more prone to infections. You'll be more prone to hypertensive disorders. You know, so one has to take all of those things into account when you're managing these patients. But as long as our blood sugar levels are well controlled, our chances of recovering at a normal rate may not be greatly different from a mother who is not diabetic.
Mm-hmm. But the operative things to make sure that
control,
you are getting
control.
And in order to control, you have to ensure that you're getting the proper care. Yeah, you can't leave anything up to chance.
No.
We are going to take another break. Singles Live on the Nation's Coolest Cool 97 FM. Tonight's topic, diabetes and pregnancy. Dr. Hardy, OBGYN, is with us tonight. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Cool 97 Radio.
The Singles Live on the Nation's School at School 97 FM, Class 101, Diabetes and Pregnancy, Dr. Milton Hardy. Hi, Dar, I know that you're listening. Yes, Dar says, we hear all the listeners, you know, they say, no. Wow. We're getting a lot of wow factors.
And I thought the program was dull and boring and sad.
Me don't know about the dull, me don't know about the boring. It's emotional. Let us not label it as being sad, but it can be emotional. Emotional in the sense that you have maybe women out there who have diabetes as we speak, hoping to get pregnant. Maybe there are women out there who have had diabetes, complications from diabetes, which led to complicated pregnancy, which led to loss of a child. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those shows, programs that it's emotional. I'm not going to say sad, because it varies from individual to individual. There are persons who are seriously thinking also, should I even try with my condition, with my diabetic condition, to become pregnant? Can I afford? Another thing that you have persons who are thinking, if I want to be treated well in terms of taking, making sure that I'm progressing healthily, even though I have diabetes through my pregnancy, what's the cost? Will I be able to be treated well in a public facility, or do I have to find some money to go and see a private OBGYN who can monitor me well? So a lot of questions.
Find the money, man.
Yeah, that's
it's easier said than done, you know, especially for those persons who don't have the planned pregnancy. And you find yourself pregnant.
It's a myriad of factors.
Yes.
In all fairness to our healthcare providers, I think they will endeavor to ensure that the diabetic person is being looked after. The key is control, you know. If that blood sugar is controlled, you have solved at least a half of the problems. And the control can be attained by you eating right, exercising, and monitoring. Remember, you know, the monitoring is usually done at home with these machines that you get from the National Health Fund. You actually get it free. Mm-hmm. You just have to buy the strips to work the machine. But the National Health Fund actually provides these machines, which are very useful
for
in terms
household.
Of... Pardon?
For every household?
If you're diabetic.
If you're diabetic.
If you're diabetic, it will be provided.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And... The cost of the machine is recovered from you purchasing the strips. So they can always... It's just like a phone.
So the strip's expensive.
All right,
cool.
It's just like a phone. They can give you the phone free. You just have to pay for the credit. You'll pay for the phone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is the overriding principle.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly pregnancy is a finite time. You will have to do certainly more testing than you normally would do if you were not pregnant. But I think it is worth the effort. But the key is control. If you do what you're supposed to do, there's no reason why you shouldn't try.
You know, as a Jamaican, we have these concoctions that we love to blame up. Outside of pregnancy, and this is not a laughing matter, they say to you, outside of pregnancy, you're probably going to try some of those things. But during pregnancy, there are things that, this is just my opinion, that you really and truly don't want to try.
because you don't want to hurt the baby.
Yes.
But you should not try.
But there are people.
Because you should not want to hurt yourself either.
Yeah, but they're not thinking that they're going to be hurting, Doc. Mm-hmm. They're not thinking that it's a hurt situation. But somebody tell us that you can go down the road and you can blame up, boil this and blame up that, because we help you. And you don't know any better. And you go and you try these things.
There's no scientific basis to many of these things, you know. One has to take this in the backdrop that some of this so-called consumption bushes that people blend up and boil up and all kind of things cause cirrhosis of the liver.
Uh-huh.
Cirrhosis of the liver.
With a combination of...
Yeah, so, you know, you see, what we have to recognize, you know, is that we have to come to grips with natural and unnatural. Natural doesn't mean harmless, you know.
Yeah.
Some natural things are harmful.
Yeah, yes, when it is not, once again, it's about monitoring and having the right individuals to monitor you in terms of your activities, even when you're going to use these quote-unquote natural products.
You see, one of the things that we have confronting us is that you may argue that there is a great cost attached to some of these things, and there is a great cost attached to some of these things. But one has to bear in mind that you are also a participant in your management. And if you do what is expected of you, there is a very good chance that you're going to get it, if not right, close to right. So I think with that in mind, you doing what you are supposed to do, you will actually get good results.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You'll have to get good results.
Singles live on the nation's coolest, Cool 97 FM. So can we just look at some of the complications to the mother? I think we touched on a few earlier, but complications to the mother, and then we can look at some of the complications to the baby. I think we touched, but we just rolled it up.
Yeah, we have covered them already, but we can always repeat complications to the mother. Well, of course, we could have her miscarrying. Hence, she is at risk for the complications of a miscarriage or the treatment of a miscarriage. She may or may not develop an infection as a consequence of miscarrying and her treatment being not adequate. She could even have a perforation of her womb because of the treatments she might have received as a consequence of this miscarriage. She may have a mid-trimester loss. These usually are usually not as complicated as you having a miscarriage earlier or later. You could go into premature labor. You could have a stillbirth. You could be the recipient of a cesarean section and all of its attendant complications. You may go into premature labor. And even though the mother may not suffer from complications of you going into labor early, the baby certainly can. And of course you have the conditions that are peculiar or are more common in the diabetic mothers. The diabetic mother is more prone to getting things like preeclampsia or other hypertensive disorders of pregnancy, which can be harmful to both mother and baby.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there are complications that one could get. And also what we need not to forget, especially for our gestational diabetics, they have an increased risk of developing diabetes when they get into the 40s. You have the risks, of course, of delivering a large baby. So you have an increased risk of damage to your genitalia. And this may, plus or minus, harm to the baby. You know.
Mm-hmm. And let us run through some of the harm in terms of the baby.
Well, the worst thing that can happen is a stillbirth. But you could get a shoulder dystocia. This could lead to baby eventually dying, or you may get cerebral palsy.
Yeah, that's the one. Mm-hmm.
You may get damage to the nerves, to the arms, so the baby might have a brachial palsy, we call it, where the arm doesn't have much use or none. We could have the hypoglycemic situations developing in the baby developed at delivering at or close to term as a consequence of the diabetes. And this baby can become brain damaged if it's not recognized and enough sugars are not put on board this baby by whatever means.
Mm-hmm. And that baby also is prone to becoming
diabetic when he gets to that age, yes.
And
he's also more prone to be obese.
And we're seeing more and more of, studies are showing that we have more and more children who are showing up with
obesity.
With obesity.
Well, that's an interesting point you're raising. I am not convinced, though, that the rise in obesity is because of diabetes. It's because the parents just feed the babies too much and they have not enough exercise. They sit at home playing with their tablet all day.
Yeah, so sometimes it's not even the too much, but is what? And then the
and
sitting
what?
Down, yes. So it is not too much, is what? Mm-hmm. And then because they're not active, the weight just stays on. So that's something to think about, people. In terms of future, let's look at it. What futuristically for women who are pregnant who have developed gestational diabetes, or women who are actually diabetic and are hoping to become or are pregnant as we speak.
And again, it comes down to control, 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 control. How do we attain control? If you're overweight, you deal with that. You have to lose the weight. Obesity is actually a diagnosis. If you write that on a health claim form in the United States, they'll pay the claim. So obesity is an illness. You have to deal with that. And you do it by eating properly, eating like you're poor. No, actually, eating properly is not poor, you know. It can actually be quite costly. But you have to endeavor to do so. You must exercise. And you just have to do all of the right things. Make sure you keep abreast of your treatments. And you must monitor. In terms of the future, if you have had a history of previous gestational diabetes, or if you have had a big baby, you need to make sure that when you, as you ascend the 40s and the 50s, you're checking on your blood sugars regularly to see if you're going to become diabetic.
Mm-hmm.
Because your risk factors for diabetes increases as you get to these ages, especially if you or a first degree relative, that is your mother or a sibling, had gestational diabetes. You're also at risk. patients with polycystic ovarian syndrome, especially those who went through the period of being overweight, they're also at greater risk for diabetes because of the being overweight. So that is where the future will take us.
And the treatment is as is, which is insulin.
For pregnant mothers.
For pregnant mothers. Yes. You have other forms of treatment.
If you're not pregnant, then of course you could use insulin if it is required, but you could get oral medications, you know. Because one of the things about not being pregnant is that you don't have the situation where you're having these placental hormones which are counteracting your blood sugar control. Because remember now, the hormones of pregnancy, many of which are made at the level of the placenta, tends to antagonize the effects of insulin. You get insulin resistance. And the amounts increase as the pregnancy gets older. You're not going to be having that in a non-pregnant situation. So, you know, the use of, or the need for you to be going on insulin so you can keep adjusting the dosages probably will not be so relevant in that particular situation.
So, is there anything else that you want to add before we get ready to wrap things up?
Control. I think that is the takeaway message for today. Control. You have to be in control. If you're diabetic and you plan to become pregnant, you need to seek some pre-pregnancy counseling and treatment. And again, your blood sugars have to be controlled. But by all means, it should not be a deterrent for you becoming pregnant, providing you have your blood sugars, your numbers
are controlled.
Must be under control.
You start and doing some exercise and
eating right. Keep your weight at an optimal level.
Eat smart. You don't have to eat poor, because when you think about poor eating, you're thinking about one particular type of food group. So eat smart, eat healthy. People say it's going to cost to eat healthy, but I think it costs more to buy medication.
Yes, they're expensive.
Medication is very expensive, so eat healthy. It doesn't have to be. Some people, they want to try just about everything, so it becomes very complicated. So you can eat healthy and simple, and I was going to say eat boring. So you can eat the same thing over and over again, but just don't tell yourself that you have to go do some variety, and the varieties are not even available when you want them. So you can just keep it simple. Keep it simple but healthy. And to cut down on the cost, you can also eat what we consider to be in season. So I want to ask this question as we're getting ready to wrap things up. For those persons who like to, they said that they're eating healthy, but they're eating a lot of fruits.
I'm glad you raised that. You know.
I'm eating healthy, so I ate 3 big mangoes.
Yes. I have to issue this warning. You will hear, and you will continue to hear, that fruits and vegetables are good for you. And that is true. However, you cannot have your fruits in a surplus, because fruits are notoriously full of sugar. So you can't have an insurmountable amount of fruits. It also has to be in reasonable portions. You can't sit down over a box of mangoes. And then say you only had fruits. You're having sugar. So even fruits have to be taken in their correct proportions, or you will be defeating the whole purpose.
And one hand a ripe banana. Because I said the ripe banana is, I've seen this, you know. It said the ripe, one hand, the ripe banana is good for hypertension.
Yes, but the potassium levels, what it's going to do to your potassium levels is going to be phenomenal if you were to try a hand of banana.
There's
a lot of potassium.
So you just continue to eat that whole, that hand of banana. So in essence, we're advising persons to check with their with a medical practitioner
or a dietitian,
or a dietitian also. A check with a medical practitioner or a dietitian if you don't know how to eat properly and how to control, as Doc says, your diabetes and your eating habits. It's important that you seek help. Don't think that you can. You don't want to. If you think that you need help, seek help. Because sometimes when you have that support,
yes,
it works out better. It helps. It helps. So you don't assume. I remember there's someone that I know, and she bought, I think it was a box of cereal. The cereal was supposed to be quote unquote healthy cereal. And this is somebody who suffers from high blood pressure. One of the diseases that you mentioned, where she has to be taking metformin. And she says, oh, the cereal is healthy. Look at the front of it that says zero trans fat and something else. I said, did you ever, do you see the serving size? Do you turn around the box and see the amount of sugar that is there? High fructose corn syrup. And sodium is there too. And let me show you what the serving size is. So when you throw that big ball, you have six serving size in there. So times it up by that amount and see, it's no longer healthy.
Yeah.
It's no longer healthy. And this is what a lot of us don't understand, that once again, portion control, portion control, yes. Portion control.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's a wrap for us.
Thank you very much.
For this time around, until next month, when you come in again with one of those masterclass.
We will see what we can do.
Okay. Dr. Milton Hardy, I want to thank you so much for being a part of the Singles Live team. We appreciate you.
Always.
Yes. Dre, the learn. Dre, so you know what, Dre, you have to make sure say.
Oh, yeah, man, I do all the pre-checks. All of that.
Remember to continue to exercise.
Yes.
Diabetes running in the family, you know, it's hereditary.
Me and you know, the young lady.
Yeah, you have to make sure, that you're eating properly too.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you know that 30% of all of us in the Caribbean will develop diabetes?
We eat too much mango, man. I'm just troubling.
Some of it is in our genes.
Yeah, genetics.
Yeah. 30% is a lot of people.
Boy.
It's a lot of mangoes, man.
And 30% will become hypertensive. Of course, some will have a combination of both.
Of both. Yeah. The hypertension. In the near future, we'll touch on that. Hypertension. Older you get, the more likely you are to develop.
Yes, it's
stress and strain of life. Body can't hold up. You don't. So if you have body, every day if you have monitor your blood pressure, Dre, make sure that it is okay. And sometimes what I realize is it's not just what you eat, but it's almost like a combination of different things.
Yes. It's a multiplicity of factors
that causes your blood pressure to.
What you have more control over is the genetic input. Because if it's in your genes, you could have a hard time dealing with these situations.
Mm-hmm.
But then that's even a greater incentive for you to do things right.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some uncontrollables that occur in these situations.
Once again, thank you so much for your wealth of knowledge,
Professor Dr. Milton Hardy.
Guys, thank you so much.
Cool 97.7 Radio.